بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. الحمد لله, all praise and thanks to Almighty Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us another chance this week to learn of the great Anbiya alayhim as-salam, those chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala, who were used and accepted by Allah Ta'ala to spread Tawheed, to spread the oneness and the message of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we reach now the story and the life of Lut alayhi salam, Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. From our previous discussion on Ibrahim alayhi salam, then we heard the name Lut alayhi salam come about. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he gave the message, then only two people accepted. One was his wife, Sarah radiallahu anha, and the other was his nephew, Lut alayhi salam. Now, Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the paternal uncle of Lut alayhi salam. When they had now left Babylon, they had reached the Jordan River. Allah Ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to settle in Canaan, which was close to Baytul Maqdis, right? At the same time, Allah Ta'ala instructed Lut alayhi salam to settle in Sodom. So when they came to this point, Allah Ta'ala instructed Lut alayhi salam to separate from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you are commissioned to a different land. You are commissioned to a different community, and I want you to go there. So Lut alayhi salam was now going to Sodom. And this lays between Jordan and Bayt al-Muqaddas, in between there, right? There he was to preach to the people of Tawheed, of the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, explain to them and bring them back to Allah Ta'ala. The story of Lut alayhi salam is quite famous because of the incident of the people of Lut alayhi salam, the horrendous sin that they committed, the disastrous, the evil sin that they were engulfed in. For us to understand, Sodom was a region that comprised of five cities. And because Sodom was the capital, so it became known as it. So there was Sodom, Amura, or I would say Gamura, Adma, Sabubim, and Bali or Sughar. These were the five cities within that area there. But the capital was Sodom. The Quran refers to these cities as the overturned cities. And we'll find soon, inshallah, we're just going to give a brief introduction before we delve into each aspect by itself. To the overturned cities. It was a lush and fertile area with plenty of crops and food. Allah Ta'ala had blessed the people of Sodom with abundance of bounties. So much Allah has blessed them with. However, they were so intoxicated with this wealth and this riches that they started to go beyond the boundaries. They started to transgress. They started to think, as we've seen before and as we see in today's times, when people are blessed with so much, then they start to think, I am doing. They start to think that I am in charge. I don't have to worry about anything. And wealth is something that many a times it leads people astray. I understand very clearly, wealth in itself is not bad, not bad at all. But the effect that wealth can have on a person, that's where the problem comes about. Many a time, people think that ulama only speak on against wealth. But we need wealth to survive, for our houses, for our businesses, for our darul ulums, for everything. Wealth is a requirement of the world. But when that wealth enters our heart, and now contaminates our belief in Allah Ta'ala, our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, that's when it becomes a major fitna. Whereas a person can have so much of wealth, but it doesn't enter his heart. He utilizes it in the obedience of Allah, he utilizes it for correct usage, then that will be a blessing and will get him far closer to Allah Ta'ala. So think about it like this. A person has in his kurta pocket, he has his top pocket where normally he keeps his miswak or he keeps his small Quran Sharif there. If in that pocket he has a million rand check, right? A million rand check, he has it. As long as it stays in his pocket, it will not affect him. But the moment 1 rand, 1 penny, $1 enters into his heart, meaning the love of it, that this is my money, I need to work for it, I need to ensure that everything I do is for it, enters his heart, his whole life is now governed by the pursuit of money, to go for it. Now, this is where it becomes problematic. So even if that person has 1 rand, but that 1 rand enters his heart, this is where that wealth becomes a problem for him. So it's not a new fitna, this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentioned in the hadith, the fitna of wealth for this ummah will be a great trial, very great trial. And many a times we think, no, when I get wealth, I'll never go into drugs, I'll never go into this gambling, I'll never go into filth. But when that wealth comes, it's a whole different scenario. Sometimes we look at those that Allah has blessed with wealth, we look at them, we look at their children, and we think, how can they be so foolish? So many people are starving, so many people don't have a roof over their heads. Why don't they utilize it for these good avenues? But they are wasting it away in filth and sin. If I had that money, I'll never do that. But just let that 1,000 or 500 rand come extra that month. And just see where our minds go towards. What haram, what filth, what wastage. Not helping those poor people anymore. So wealth, to utilize it correctly, we have to always stay connected to Allah Ta'ala and realize that Allah is the one that has given me it and Allah can take it away at any time. So these people of Sodom, Allah had blessed them. And with all of this, it got to their minds, got to their hearts, and they forgot about Allah Ta'ala. They started to transgress the limits. They not only lost their natural modesty that Allah has blessed each and every one of us of covering our private parts, of being worried about committing sin open, no one must think bad of us, to humiliate ourselves. But they even lost the ability to distinguish between what was morally correct and what was not. So one is your natural own self, and one is common sense. Even that was lost. So intoxicated they was. They became so depraved that they started to engage in acts that completely opposed morality and human nature. In fact, their sins were such that even animals, even if you look at animals, they won't even think of doing such. Now, we are mentioning the state of mind, the state of their hearts was, but when we are going to go into these understandings of the events, then let us keep these few points in mind, right? So as a result, the sin that they were engaged in was the most despicable sin. And this was sexual intercourse with men. Men having sexual intercourse with men, and as well as the woman having with woman. And we'll come to that day, inshallah, the result of woman having with woman was because the men was only going towards men. And the women were left all alone. So they thought to themselves also, we rather fulfill our desires with our own woman folk. And this was the, what we say, the crazy mindset that on the earth, such a sin had never been experienced before. No one in human history ever came about with this sin until this time. This was the first time. And they took it to a whole new level. But when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala came, they also saw such a punishment that was never seen before. That was never seen before. And what was this punishment? The punishment was that these areas that they lived in was once bustling cities and flourishing. Allah Ta'ala caused these cities to be lifted up to the sky, turned upside down and smashed into the ground. On top of that, stones were rained down upon them. And this was the end of these people. In today's time, we find that this area is known as the Dead Sea. This area is known as the Dead Sea. And if you just do a little bit history, a quick check on the Dead Sea, and it's quite interesting. And keep this in mind as we are going along to realize the effects of this sin, the outcome of it. What was the outcome? The Dead Sea, if one has to look into the Dead Sea, it is so salty. It is 9 times saltier than the ocean. 9 times more saltier than the ocean. No fish, no animals, no creatures can survive in it. If a fish happens to come into the Dead Sea via the Jordan River or via some other tributaries, comes into the Dead Sea, then instantly this fish dies. It's covered with salt because of the high density of that salt, and it dies. The only thing that survives in the Dead Sea is bacteria and fungi, what we'll say filth. Nothing else. This was the same region where this punishment of Allah Ta'ala befell them. And when reading this here, one thought came to mind. You know, normally after we drink water, then we read the dua, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي سَقَانَا عَذْبًا فُرَاتًا بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِلْحًا أُجَاجًا بِذُنُوبِنَا. We say all praises to Allah Ta'ala who has granted us sweet water to drink. And He did not make the water salty due to our sins. What a dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. We did not make the water salty due to our sins. Now can we imagine that this Dead Sea, the water that filled in here, became so salty, 9 times more saltier than the ocean. Can we understand the level of the degree of the sin in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, what a high level and what a disgrace the sin is, that so salty this water had become. It's a point to keep in mind whenever we drink water, whenever we are going to discuss it. Because at times we might think to ourselves that this is sin because we are so familiarized with it. The world has programmed us such, has pushed it such, that no, don't worry about it. But in the story of Lut alayhi salam, we will learn what a disastrous and what a filthy mindset these people had. Now, although the people of Sodom engaged in many sins, right? Many sins. There were 3 that were the worst and stood out from all. Number 1, homosexuality. Number 2, highway robbery. And number 3, engaging in sin in public. Now, highway robbery, you can see robbing travelers actually. Not really highway robbery as we'll understand it today, that people are traveling on the highways and they're getting robbed, hijacked. This will say travelers that are coming into their town, they used to rob them. And how they used to do this here, they will meet the merchants. Now, in those days, people will come into town selling whatever goods they were, and they'll move on to the next town, and that's how what they'll say they had their markets that used to come. So the merchants used to come in, the sellers, the businessmen, they'll come with their goods, they'll have it for sale. And when these people used to come, the inhabitants of the town, the locals, used to steal something from them. Eventually, when he realized what was happening and complained to the leader, that, you know what, your people are coming, they are stealing my goods. They are coming and taking and going away. What happened then? These people will be summoned back. And look at this degree of what we say immorality of these people. They used to either bring back something inferior compared to what they stole, they bring something small. Or whatever they stole, they'll damage it and they'll bring it back. And when this merchant, this businessman will see, they'll say, what will I do with that now? What is the use of that when so much more has been stolen? You bring in something inferior, something broken. I want my valuable goods. So you either just keep this to yourself. And like this, it will go on and on. This was the trick they used to rob the people. And now, imagine it's a person who is from out of town, who has no support. They are going to the leaders to complain. The leaders are just as despicable as the people. There's no way out, right? So that was regarding robbing the travelers. Then we're going to come to homosexuality and engaging in sin in public. Engaging in sin in public is something which, as a person of Iman, should feel shy. That I don't want no one to know my sins. I don't want no one to know the evil that I'm doing. One is, you are worried that people mustn't know I'm disobeying Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we have to reach that level of even in privacy where we still don't obey Allah. But to a certain degree, a person may, because he doesn't have the taqwa level yet, he may disobey Allah Ta'ala in private, in privacy, in his own space. But out in public, he'll be shy. People are watching me. People are seeing me. I can't do this here. They think bad of me. You'll have some sense of honor, some sense of worry. But these people had nothing. Even out in the public, they'll commit sin after sin. And the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam is for lessons of our times, as we say. That are we committing sins out in the public? Remember, this was one of the sins that caused the punishment, right? One of the three major sins that caused the punishment, even though there were many others. So are we blatantly disobeying Allah, breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala? Are we doing that there? The way we are dressing, this is disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. We are not fulfilling the Shari'i dressing according to Islam. Our beard, our hair for the woman, for the clothing, what it should be covered. Out in the open, are we in our cars blasting the music, everyone can hear it? Our weddings, our functions, are we having this mixed gathering, openly disobeying Allah Ta'ala? We have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Because when we look at the past, the sins of the past and the punishment of the past will come back also. If we repeat those sins, then that punishment also may come back. So we have to be very, very careful and at guard at all times. So Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, now he preached these moral to these morally depraved people and explained, trying to explain to them the evil of their ways, explaining to them the importance of a pure life, of having a moral compass in yourself. He tried his level best, as did all the Anbiya alayhi salam, trying to plead to their people. However, as we've seen before with others, they didn't heed no advice, they didn't worry about anything. Rather, they threatened him. They threatened to stone him. They threatened to banish him, to exile him. But this does not deter the men of Allah Ta'ala. This doesn't deter the men of Allah Ta'ala one bit at all. So look at what the people told him now. Now we are going to concentrate from here till the end on the sin of homosexuality, because that was the root cause of the major punishment, right? The people came and told him that, you know what, Lut alayhi salam, you're too clean for us, meaning you're too good for us. We're too dirty for you. We're not ready for your level. They were so corrupted in their belief and in their morality that someone who was advising them, someone who's pure, good at heart, they didn't want to be with them. They rather have it as, you know what, you are too good. You rather stay away from us. We understand, okay, we might be filthy, we're doing the wrong, but we're not going to listen to you. So just keep away from us. Why did you even come settle here? They even asked the time, why did you even come to our town that you knew the filth that is happening? And now you want to come and lecture us on what we should be doing. You came to us. Doesn't this sound familiar in today's time? A person might tell someone, you know what, you're having a walima, you're getting married. Have the segregation, have the parda. Why are you having this Western style of wedding? Advising with love, not fighting. And what he said, whoever doesn't like it, they mustn't attend. That's what we often hear. If it's not your liking, don't come. No one's forcing you to come, but this is how we're having our function. And this is the same statement that the people of Lut alayhi salam made. That if you think you are too pure, it's not that you are thinking you are too pure. One is the command of Allah. We can't claim to be pure, but the command of Allah Ta'ala, we know how to follow and how it should be followed. So if we are part of those people that say, you know, don't come. We know what we are doing. If it's not to your liking, then no one's forcing to you. You rather just don't attend our function. Let us not make this utterance. Let us realize the story of Lut alayhi salam, and this was the reply that they gave. And this is a reply and an answer that we hear many a times today when people are being advised, when people are being cautioned and nasihat is being given, that this function, this wedding, whatever you are doing, please, it's not correct. No, it's too good for you. You're too good for us. Don't come for it. Please, don't come. There's going to be music. There's going to be a mixed gathering. Are we not following these same footsteps? Nevertheless, after some time now, they forced Lut alayhi salam and his followers, told him, you better leave. Please go. And Allah Ta'ala's system is such that Allah grants respite. Allah Ta'ala gives time for people to reform, for people to correct their ways. Allah gives chance after chance. Allah doesn't just punish. Allah doesn't just destroy. But Allah gives chance and chance. Until a time comes when now all that chance has been used up. And Allah Ta'ala is very merciful. Allah Ta'ala those that were good amongst them, and those that tried to advise, Allah saves them. Example we can understand it from, if you have a vase of flowers, and many of them are gone bad, many of them are gone dead, as we'll say, but just one or two are lasting, you'll still keep that vase on the table, right? Until you might think, you know, let me just take out the good ones and keep them separate. Now there's no need for the old flowers that's gone dead, that's gone bad. You'll take it and throw it away. Why? Because you separated the good from the bad now. So there's no reason to keep the rest. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala, when this punishments of Allah are coming, of Allah is coming, then Allah separates and removes the good people from the filth before the punishment can arrive. Before the punishment can arrive. In the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we touched on the birth of Ishaq alayhi salam, and we are going to repeat certain of the incidents here because it has to do more with Lut alayhi salam and understanding how the punishment of the people of Lut alayhi salam arrived. So Ibrahim alayhi salam never lived far off from the region of Sodom where Lut alayhi salam was. It was about, we'll say, about 15 miles, about 33 kilometers away. Not very far off, right? And one day Ibrahim alayhi salam was out hunting. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was known for hosting guests. Ibrahim alayhi salam was renowned for hosting guests. So he was out hunting and he came across three people. And as soon as he saw, I didn't recognize the people, they may be travelers, he instantly invited, come home for meals. Come home for meals. Now in today's time, we have to take our precautions also, right? Allah Ta'ala has given us intellect. We understand the circumstance around us. We can't just pick up anyone from the road, bring them home. We don't know their intents. We don't know their background. We don't know anything. So it could be danger in today's time. So we have to use our aqal, our intelligence, judge the matter. Yeah, a different story. We know a jamaat is coming. People are in the masjid. We know there's some good people around. Now you want to invite them for meals or bring meals to them. No problem at all. But now you just see anyone in the masjid, whoever you think, hey, it's a good person. Let's just bring him home for meals. Allah Ta'ala will reward you for your intention. Allah Ta'ala will reward you. But at the same time, we have to use our intelligence to judge the matter. But despite all that there, when last did we understand the importance of hosting guests? When last did we have a guest at our house? Even if it's our uncle, even if it's our cousins, even our own parents. When last did we invite our parents over for a meal? We might be living in the same town, few streets away. But when last did we tell them, come home for meals, come home for supper, come home for lunch? When last did we host a guest? And with the guest, so much of barakah comes. Allah Ta'ala brings that barakah into the homes. So we should try and revive this year, this hosting of guests, at the same time utilizing our intelligence. So Ibrahim alayhi salam invited these three men over. Instantly Ibrahim alayhi salam went and he roasted a calf, he roasted some meat. You know, so you have a braai in today's time, and he got the meat ready, he got the food ready. He presented it to these guests of his. When the food was put in front of them, now what happened? They refused to eat. And this is another point we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sometimes we have guests and we like to ask them, would you like to eat anything? Would you want anything to drink? The way the question is posed already is a put off. The person says, no, don't worry about anything. But rather, as we have learned and we have, say, by spending time with the ulama, our satiza, the mashayikh, they say, put it in a different manner. Ask them, will you be having Milo, coffee, tea, cool drink, water? Give them the options. Not asking, will you have anything? Ask them, what will you have? Will you have this? That way they already know what you have. Sometimes they feel bad. You know, maybe I'll say something and he doesn't have it. So give them. And then at the same time, whatever food is there in the fridge, whatever we might have prepared, tell him, we got roti, we got bread, we got some tarkari, we got some chicken, which one you will be having? So we're already giving them the impression, we're giving you food, just tell us which one you want. So all these adabs and etiquettes, we learn from the stories of Anbiya alayhi salam, and by spending time with the pious, where we learn how to do all of these aspects of entertaining and hosting guests. So when this food was presented, they never eat. And in those times, only an enemy wouldn't partake of your food, or a person who had evil motives or evil plans for you, they wouldn't. So Ibrahim alayhi salam became a bit uneasy, and he wanted to know now what's happening. And the men, they sensed this trouble within Ibrahim alayhi salam, and instantly they didn't want him to worry. They informed him, you know what? We are actually angels. We are angels that are going to the people of Lut alayhi salam. We are going to the city of Sodom. And we have been commissioned and given the duty of destroying that nation. Destroying that nation. And at the same time, this is where they gave him the glad tidings of a son named Ishaq who will be born. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, being a loving, caring, being a Nabi who's worried about his people, worried about people obeying Allah, he started to, what we'll say, debate or try to convince the angel that don't destroy them. Wait, they'll come right. They'll find the right path. Don't go and destroy them. But the angels have already mentioned that the decision has been passed. The decision has been passed. And it's going to happen. Nothing can be done now. They are going to be destroyed. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, but Lut alayhi salam is amongst them. And he said, we know that there. Lut alayhi salam and all those who ever had believed in his message, they will be saved. They will be saved. But due to the immorality and the evils of these people, nothing can be done to save them. The decision has been made that they will be destroyed. Quran mentioned it very beautifully. Quran mentioned it very beautifully. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَعُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُونَ فِي قَوْمِ لُوتِ. And when the fear left Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the good news reached him, right? That means he was worried first, who are these people? Why are they not eating? Good news referring to that these are angels, could be referring to also that the son that Ibrahim alayhi salam will be blessed with. يُجَادِلُونَ فِي قَوْمِ لُوتِ. He started to debate, he started to try to talk to them regarding the people of Lut alayhi salam. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ. Definitely Ibrahim alayhi salam was tolerant, forbearing, compassionate, soft-hearted. He loved. He was worried about his people. And the angels now advised Ibrahim alayhi salam, يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَعْرِضْ أَنْ هَذَا. So Ibrahim, please refrain from this debate. Refrain from asking. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. That definitely now, without a doubt, the command of Allah has come. It shall take place. There's no stopping it now. It's going to happen. وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٌ. And this punishment will definitely come. It can't be turned away. Nothing will happen now. Whatever you might say, whatever you might do, this is a decision. We have just come as messengers. We came to give you the glad tidings of your son, at the same time to inform you what's going to happen to the people of Lut alayhi salam. To Lut alayhi salam. قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. At the place Surah Zariyat, Allah Ta'ala mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked, O messengers, O angels, what is your mission? Why have you come? قَالُوا إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مُجْرِمِينَ. We have been sent to a criminal nation, to a disobedient nation. لِنُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن طِينَ. So that we will shower down upon them, we will rain down upon them stones of clay. They told what punishment is going to come to them. The angels mentioned to Ibrahim alayhi salam what punishment was going to be meted out to these people. مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُسْرِفِينَ. And each one of these stones have been marked by Allah Ta'ala, meaning the names of each person that it was meant to hit has been marked, and it was going for each of these transgressors that have broke the command of Allah. فَأَخْرَجْنَا مَنْ كَانَ فِيهَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we will take out, we will save whoever has believed from amongst them. فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. However, we didn't find except only one house of believers, meaning the house of Lut alayhi salam. وَتَرَكْنَا فِيهَا آيَةً لِلَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. And in this incident is a lesson for those that will fear Allah, for those that will fear a terrible, painful punishment. And this is what we highlight throughout our lessons every week, that this reminders, these reminders that come from the stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, are reminders for you and I not to fall into those same punishments, not to fall into those areas where these people done and the punishment came upon them. وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى قَالُوا إِنَّا مُهْلِكُ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ مُهْلِكُ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ إِنَّ أَهْلَا كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ قَالَ إِنَّ فِيهَا لُوطًا. So they came and they gave Ibrahim alayhi salam the message, and they told, we are going to destroy the city. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, but in it is Lut alayhi salam. قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِيهَا. The angel said, we know exactly who's in it. لَنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا مُرَأَتَهُ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. We will save him and his family, people that believed in him, إِلَّا مُرَأَتَ, except his wife. كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. She will be from amongst those that will be left behind. She will be from amongst those that will be left behind. And we'll come to the aspect of the wife of Lut alayhi salam soon, inshallah. So as the people, as the angels gave the message to Lut alayhi salam, now they continued. They went on, right? They went on and they're going to proceed towards the city of Lut alayhi salam. In the same time, in the meantime, Lut alayhi salam still continued. Continue to try to advise the people to correct their wrong ways. But nothing happened. Nothing worked. They would never want to listen to anything. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu an, he reports that these three angels, who were they? They were Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, and Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam. They've come now. After Ibrahim alayhi salam's visit, they've come to Lut alayhi salam. And they appeared in human form, just like how they appeared in front of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they appeared in human form in front of Lut alayhi salam. Now imagine, just imagine this one statement I'm going to say now. When Lut alayhi salam saw these three men, now they were angels in the form of human beings, Lut alayhi salam became worried. Instantly he became worried for their safety. Imagine seeing visitors come and immediately worrying for their safety. What levels that these people of his town took the sin of homosexuality. So to say no one was safe, no one was left, that anyone came within their range was attacked. They were not left behind. Everyone was danhood. So Lut alayhi salam, understanding the condition of his people, became worried that these three visitors came now. What's going to happen? He didn't know what to do with them. He knew that the people of his town, the men of his town, wanted to fulfill their desires with men. They just wanted to satisfy their desires like animals. You'll see the animals on the road, anywhere, anything they do. They're not worried. Out in the public. This was exactly the condition of the people of Lut alayhi salam. And as Lut alayhi salam started to fear, as he had this concern within him, this is when the people of the town came rushing. They came and they told, oh Lut, hand over your guests. Imagine, what disgusting behavior. Disgusting behavior. I said, oh Lut, hand over your guests. And Lut alayhi salam felt so embarrassed, felt so disgraced. He said, please, don't embarrass me in front of my guests. Do not disgrace me. And he again reminded them, you know what? Satisfy your desires with women. There's women in this nation, in this community. Go there. There's no shortage of it. That's the way Allah has made it as a human being. Common sense, human nature. We're supposed to go and fulfill our desires with a woman. However, they made it very clear. And they said, oh Lut, you know, we are not interested in women. We want men. And these are three new men in town that we haven't seen before, and their beauty is something else. And this is what excites us, this is what arouses us. Now I know, sometimes we might be listening to this and we're feeling uncomfortable within our hearts. That's excellent. That's a sign of our iman, that's a sign of our purity, of feeling this uneasiness within us. And we might think to ourselves, how can these people be so foolish? How can they go towards men? Are they insane? Are they not right in their brains? Even in today's time, we might look at the gays and we think, what's wrong with them? You take a whatever and go and bash them, go and kill them, that they're sick. They are sick. And that's how we feel. Remember something. Remember. Everyone is inclined to a different sin. Everyone is inclined to a different sin. If we are not inclined to that sin, then make shukr to Allah. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. There is no guarantee that you will be saved from it till you die. You might find this sin of homosexuality, which is filthy and correct, completely wrong, find disgusting with it. But whereas you might be committing fornication, you might be committing adultery, and that day you're not considering it filthy, that some strange woman, I'm not married, I'm going and spending a night, a day with a strange woman, that you don't find disgusting. There you are taking alcohol, you are taking drugs, that you don't find disgusting or morally incorrect. So everyone is inclined to a different sin. That's each and everyone's own battle. That I think, how can this person be on drugs, but I'm committing adultery? I can think, how this person is gambling, but I'm drinking alcohol? I'm not looking at my sin. I'm looking at the sin that person is committing. And I think to myself, what is wrong with them? So I just wanted to make sure we understand this, that a sin is a sin no matter what. And every person has their own battle. And this is where we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. We have to spend time with the mashayikh, with the pious, where we learn how to get over that sin, how to manage it and come out of it via the advices that they have given us and the experience that they have. So whilst throughout the story we might feel so disgusted with the sin of homosexuality, remember, whilst we might not be inclined towards this sin here and we feel total hatred towards it, which is correct, at the same time, why don't we feel hatred towards the other sins in our life? And that's what we need to remember at all times, that until every single sin is out of my life, that's the only moment then I can relax. But until then, never. And we find the ulama were so cautious of every single sin. Great, great ulama, that when they should have their programs, their majlis, because they understood that we can't be saved from sin ourselves. It's only the tawfiq of Allah, that I am not falling into the sin now, but I can fall into it. So they blocked off any avenues that could lead to it. So in the gatherings, they'll say, we don't want no young boys coming in front. Not because they were feeling inclination towards them, but shaitan can trick you at any moment. They'll say, any young boy coming in front, we don't want you to go in the back. Any man coming here with no beard, maybe your beard don't grow, you're shaving your beard, don't come here. This was the precautionary level they took, understanding that we can never trust our nafs and can never trust shaitan. So coming back to our discussion, Lut alayhi salam now had this dilemma in front of him, where the people were there demanding the guests. And despite Lut alayhi salam pleading with them, telling them, please go away, leave them, these are my guests, they never worry. They didn't want to. Eventually, Lut alayhi salam went to the guests, and the guests told, oh Lut, don't stress. As you say, don't stress. We are angels sent by Allah Ta'ala. We are angels sent by Allah Ta'ala. We have come to destroy this nation the next morning. So please, you and whoever believes in you, take and leave. You all should leave by this night. You all should leave by the last portion of this night. You should go and don't turn around. Don't turn around. When you're leaving the town, don't turn back. Don't look back. Just leave and go. Just leave and go. Throughout this year, Lut alayhi salam was feeling, if only I had some support, someone to help me, some family, some strength that could assist me to against this community, to back them up for my guests. But when this message of the angels came and he understood that they were angels, now the heart of Lut alayhi salam became a bit at ease, a bit at ease. In a narration in the Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon Lut alayhi salam, who was forced to seek the support of a strong pillar. And in Tirmidhi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after Lut, alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had not sent another Nabi who would not have the support of his own family. Now, we found that Nuh alayhi salam, his son, his wife, they didn't accept. Yaud Lut alayhi salam also, his wife, didn't accept the message. In the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met with tremendous opposition from the kuffar, how much trouble they gave him, but his family members were there to support him. They were there to protect him. We see Abu Talib, we see the other members of his family who might have not been a Muslim or never accept Islam at that time, or later on may have accepted Islam. But being the family, they protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the extent that they could. And this was the reason why that the Quraysh declared a complete boycott on the entire Banu Hashim family. Not on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but on the whole family. And this is where Lut alayhi salam didn't have the support of family. And where he made this, if only I had the support of a strong pillar, meaning a family. And this was done before the angels had informed Lut alayhi salam regarding what was to transpire, what was to happen. Some narrations suggest that the wife of Lut alayhi salam also left with him. They also left with Lut alayhi salam. But she looked back on the way out, feeling pity, feeling grief for the people, for her community. She left and she went back. When she went to go back, then a stone, that one of those stones that were marked, came down, flying towards her and killed her. Right? Now, many things we should learn from this part of the wife of Lut alayhi salam. Firstly, you see, in today's time, we have this LGBT story that goes about. In Islam, there's no place for it, right? And I know students and everyone, we're tired of hearing about it. That we know in Islam, that has no grounds or anything. But we are the one that listen to it and we are familiar with it. But there are many out there who don't have that Islamic knowledge or Islamic reminders that's coming to them, and they aren't familiar with this here. So one is, we understand it to be completely haram, completely forbidden, LGBT, completely. Together with it, any form of support is completely forbidden. Look at Lut alayhi salam's wife. She was a disbeliever, right? But she supported the people of her community. She tried to help them. She tried to give them any messages. She felt pity for them. And this is the first part of this message, that Lut alayhi salam's wife had this love for her community, even though they were filled of sin, even though understanding the wrongs that they were committing, she wanted to go back and try to save them, try to warn them. Any support for wrong, any support for sin, any support for evil, we are equally guilty in it. So at one stage we might say, you know what, I totally say it's haram, LGBT, gay, lesbianism, homosexuality, transgenderism, all these things, right? But I got no issue if you want to do it. If you want to do it, I got no issue. That is completely wrong. We can't say that. That is completely wrong. Look at Lut alayhi salam's wife. She didn't commit the act, but she had no problem with them doing it. So if we are Muslims, and we have to stand up for what we believe in. That one is, I will never do it, and I will never support you all in this action. And look at the perfection of Quran. For our times, the story is mentioned in such detail for us to realize that we can never be those that side with the LGBT groups, activists, whatever it might be. And we must never feel shy to speak the truth. Never feel shy to speak the truth. Because this is morally correct. You, as a human being, as a normal person, we understand that this is correct. How will we reproduce? How will the human beings continue to exist if we are going to resort to these ways? So it's not a matter of choice. We don't have a choice when it comes to the Sharia. So that's one aspect. Never support those who are doing it, even though we might say it's haram. But no, I got no problem if you are doing it. No, that statement is completely wrong. Secondly, when punishment in the Sharia is being meted out, then there's no sympathy. We cannot show weakness. It must be carried out. One is our human nature, our hearts, our minds might feel a bit sympathy. But in our action, we can never show it. We have to say, this is the Shari'i ruling, and I will go forward with it. I will carry it out to the best of my ability. That is what is needed. So when it comes out to meeting out the Shari'i punishment, then there should be never be a sympathy when it comes to this, right? So in the words of Quran, as Allah Ta'ala, I see our time is almost finished for this segment, inshallah, and I would like to wrap up the story of Lut alayhi salam. And as we can see, so much lessons throughout the story of Lut alayhi salam. In the words of Quran itself, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ آلَ لُوطٍ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, when the angels came to the family of Lut alayhi salam, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ, Lut alayhi salam said to them, that you are unfamiliar people, you are not locals here. قَالُوا بَلْ جِئْنَاكَ بِمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ, the angel said that we have brought with us that which your people have been doubting. وَآتَيْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ, and we have come with the truth, and we are from the truthful ones. فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ, so leave with your family in the last portion of the night. وَاتَّبِعْ أَدْبَارَهُمْ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٍ, and move all together closely. Follow each other very closely. Move together. And don't turn around. Not any one of you. وَمْدُوا حَيْثُ تُؤْمَرُونَ, and proceed to those places, to those land, to that land which you have been commanded to do. Right? So the angels came and advised them in this manner.
وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ ذَٰلِكَ الْأَمْرَ أَنَّ دَابِرَ هَؤُلَاءِ مَقْطُوعٌ مُصْبِحِينَ, وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ,
the people came now. As we said, they knew the guests are here. They came rejoicing, excited. There's new guests in town.
قَالَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَفْضَحُونَ,
Lut alayhi salam said, these are my guests. These are my guests. Don't try anything funny.
وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونَ,
fear Allah and do not humiliate. Do not be disgraceful.
قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْحَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ,
قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ, they said, oh Lut, you know, what are you stopping us for? For what are you preventing us? Lut alayhi salam, and this is what we want to focus on, Lut alayhi salam told them, هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ, he said, there's my daughters, if you want to do anything. Now many people question this part. See, how can Lut alayhi salam offer his daughters to these wretched people? We have to understand the context and have to understand the whole scenario as we have explained it so far. If we understood it as we have explained it, then we'll understand the statement of Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam was never offering his pure, pious daughters to these filthy people. But this was an effort of Lut alayhi salam still to try to make them come to their senses, to say that don't touch my guests, that I'm even prepared, that yes, my daughters, marry them, and fulfill your desires in a halal manner through marriage. This is what is correct for you to do. So trying to see that Lut alayhi salam is even prepared that to give us his daughters in marriage to fulfill our desires, maybe we should realize our wrongs. And Lut alayhi salam understanding that, you know what, these are guests here. These are people who have come to visit. It's my honor this year. So Lut alayhi salam put forward this year that here's my daughters. My daughters, in a sense, marry them, fulfill your desires, come to your senses. This is how evil your ways are. In no way that Lut alayhi salam was saying, you know what, go and fornicate, go and commit this haram with my daughters. No, this was not the statement and the meaning of the statement of Lut alayhi salam. Also, Lut alayhi salam was reminding them that woman, these daughters, woman, that is where our desire is supposed to be fulfilled. So at every moment you'll see the Anbiya, the Nabis, they try and remind the people what they need to be doing. At every given time, they don't give up. And as we can see, Lut alayhi salam never give up.
لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ,
but they were blinded in the intoxication and they could not see anything.
فَأَخَذَتُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ,
and a scream seized them.
فَجْعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلِيمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ,
we turned them upside down, their cities. That's where the word came from. The overturned cities. We turned their cities upside down.
وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ,
and we showered down upon them stones of clay, clay stones. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ. Verily, in this year are signs for those of foresight. وَإِنَّهَا لَبِسَبِيلٍ مُقِيمٍ. And in it, where was this? This was by an accessible road. This is where people used to pass often. So the road was between Makkah and Sham. And this was a common area that people used to pass for their travels. This is where Allah Ta'ala made it. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That this was a sign for the believers. They are passing it all the time. So take heed of what happened to these people. Take heed of what happened to these nations. Jibreel alayhi salam, with the tip of his wing, Jibreel alayhi salam lifted up this entire city. And Jibreel alayhi salam lifted it up in such a manner that the water vessels never even spill over. The dogs, the animals could be heard from the sky. The crying of the children could be heard from the sky. And Jibreel alayhi salam flipped the city upside down, smashing it into the ground. And these rocks now came and showered down upon the city, going marked for each of its target. What a punishment Allah Ta'ala befell upon them. Why? Due to the sin of homosexuality. Due to the sin that had never been seen before. Never ever been seen before. So this is how the people of Lut alayhi salam were destroyed. The area then got filled with water and it became known as the Dead Sea. No life is allowed there. No life. Nothing. Nothing even lives in there. Everything destroyed. Everything destroyed. And we should realize that one is the act of homosexuality with another man, but at the same time, having relations even with one's own wife through the passage of the back, this is completely forbidden. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the person who engages in intercourse with a menstruation woman, the one who engages in anal intercourse, and the one who consults and believes a fortune teller, has rejected all that has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one is, we understand the people of Lut alayhi salam, what happened, the sin they committed. But we must not do the same action. It might be our wife there, but we have to fulfill our desires correctly, even with our wife. Cursed has been that person who commits sexual relations through the back passage. And we have to be very careful with the filth that we are seeing today, with the filth that is entering the mind. So much has entered the mind that people forget that this is haram, that this is what Islam says, this is what has been mentioned. So from the story of Lut alayhi salam, we find this action of homosexuality in today's time, the LGBT movement, all this has no place in Islam. No place in Islam. And we'll just end off just as one final proof with regards to this place of Sodom. And we see even the word sodomy is named after this nation. It's an English word. In 1965, an American team of archaeologists discovered a large cemetery on the peninsula which contained as many as 20,000 graves. So much graves, there had to be a civilization around. But no civilization could be found. And this led them to conclude and deduce that definitely whichever civilization that lived here is buried below the ground now, meaning they got sunken in. And this is where the Dead Sea lies. Right next to the Dead Sea, this was found. So we have this deen of Islam that shows us this pure way of life, that shows us how we should be living in the world. Not filthy, not anything what's not known to human nature. But understand from the story of Lut alayhi salam is that number one, never ever let wealth distract us from our purpose and enter our hearts. Number two, that we might not be falling into that sin of what others might be falling in, but we have our sins that we have to look at. And yes, definitely without doubt, the sin of Lut alayhi salam's people, that is of homosexuality, lesbianism, and intercourse through the back passage, all this is completely forbidden. And if we were to fall into those sins, then we have to expect that same outcome. That is why one of the punishments that is mentioned for a person involved in homosexuality is that the punishment similar to the people of Lut alayhi salam, that throw him off from a high cliff or a high building, and then stone him to death, just like how the punishment they had had. So may Allah Ta'ala save, guard us, may Allah Ta'ala guide us, and keep our children safe from the filth that is out there, and never shy away from the truth that Islam has showed us. And may Allah Ta'ala give us life to continue this blessed series in which we learn so much from the light of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, and so much more to come, inshaAllah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.